You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining her door.
Come over here, kid. Wait a second. You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of water. And you fry some garlic. It's then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got to do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious. Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. Hope you are having a good weekend. I've had a really good weekend. A lot of it has been quiet, which sometimes I really like. I also today did something very interesting up at Francis Ford Coppola Winery. I participated in a new tasting that they've just started. Today was actually the kickoff, and it's tasting in the dark, and you taste for about an hour and a half. You do a guided tasting blindfolded, and it's just very interesting to see the things that come forward when you're not using your eyes. I will probably be talking more about that on Mouthful. We may even do a full hour in some way on that topic, but It got me thinking about a number of things, and I quite enjoyed it. And it had a silly element in that they blindfold you after you come to the top of the stairs of the second floor of the tasting room. You put your blindfolds on, and then you put your hands on the shoulders of the person in front of you, and they walk you what seems like a really long ways in this blindfolded train to get where you're going. And on one hand, you could go into the tasting room and then just put on the blindfold and do the tasting, but instead they sort of takes you down into darkness by doing this long walk. And part of the walk takes you on a sort of catwalk where everybody who's outside at the pool can see you. And some people apparently were waving, and some of the people down at the pool were taking photographs. I bet we actually looked pretty silly. But it was fun. And like I said, I will be talking more about that. And oh my, aren't the farmers markets glorious right now? Summer is just spilling out all over. Tonight we're going to go to Healdsburg, and we're going specifically to Bocce Cafe and Wine Bar with Lisbeth Holmfjord and Shari Sarabi. Welcome very much. Very welcome to Mouthful.
Thank you so much.
And Elizabeth, we've been trying to get this to work out for several weeks. I'm glad that you guys were finally able to be here.
Yeah, because we are both working full-time at the restaurant, and it's difficult to get away. And the restaurant and our customers are priority.
Absolutely. How long has the restaurant been open?
15 months.
15 months. And where exactly is it?
It is on Healdsburg Avenue, 336 in the old Manzanita restaurant.
Right, so
just half a block north of the square.
And sort of across the street from the charcuterie?
Yes.
Yeah. And you serve both lunch and dinner?
Yes, we do. Okay. We are open for dinner 5 nights a week, and then lunch only Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Uh-huh. And it's an interesting marriage. It's an interesting marriage of flavors. You're from Norway.
Yes.
And Shari, you're from Iran.
I'm actually, yes, from Iran.
Uh-huh. And how long have you been here from Norway? Were you born over there?
Yes, I came to America about 25 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And lived all over New York, and then met Shari in his restaurant in Hawaii.
Oh, in Hawaii?
Yes.
Where in Hawaii?
We were in Oahu. We had, first I had a restaurant, then after I met Lisbeth. We expanded. We had three restaurants from 1985 to 96 in Oahu.
Oh, in Oahu. Uh-huh.
Yes.
And what was the focus of those restaurants?
Also Italian. Mm-hmm. Bocce was the name of the original restaurant. Mm-hmm. And we opened a second restaurant called Bocce Due, and a third restaurant, which we called Spedini. Mm-hmm. So, and it's funny because we covered a tourist area, middle of heart of Waikiki. We had the original Bocce. Mm-hmm. Then we had in Kahala area, we had a mm-hmm. small house that it was for our local customers. And then we also opened one in Coco Marina, which on the way to Hanama Bay, for those of you who've been to Hawaii, it was a local location.
Mm-hmm. And how long did you stay in Hawaii?
We were there 11 years.
11 years. And what brought you to Sonoma County?
Well, we have three kids, and education in Hawaii is not, you don't have as many choices. Mm-hmm. And I loved living there. He had a lot of family here in Sonoma County, and we used to come and visit all the time. And mm-hmm. it's much more plentiful here.
Sure.
There's more opportunities, mm-hmm. and we decided to come, and we've worked for different people mm-hmm. for many years.
Yeah. And we even have Real Shave Ice in Sonoma County now.
Yes.
Just
yes.
a place just opened on last Saturday in Fountain Grove, what is that, Village, a little place, Cafe Kanapali.
Yes, I was reading about that.
Yeah, and they have an actual, they shave the ice rather than crush it. So when you get a real Jones for that island ice, we have somewhere to go now. Were you born in Iran, Shay?
Yes, I was born in Iran. My parents and I left in 1970. Mm-hmm. And after a long journey, we end up in California. And my father went into restaurant work and business, and I went to school. And as a child, I was very interested in cooking and food. So I end up in restaurants and loving what I like to do. Mm-hmm. Although against all my family and parents' wishes, they said, well, you want to grow up to become a cook? And I said, but now things are different. That's
right,
many years ago. Now a chef has quite a bit of interesting concept to it, you know, so people are loved.
It's very respected now.
It wasn't
for as late as the 70s, it really wasn't respected in the same way that it is today.
No, yeah, they would look at it as a way of hard labor, mm-hmm. long hours, which it still is, but in a way, it's sort of, you kind of mix celebrity with it and being famous and knowing people and producing good product for people and getting rewarded as it's kind of nice. You know, mm-hmm. people really enjoy that position.
Mm-hmm. One thing I'm curious about, the restaurant clearly, or the menu clearly has a lot of classic Italian flavors. You've got pizza, panini, pastas like... Where did it go? I think I'm looking at the wrong menu. Yeah. I think I meant the dinner. Oh, yes, carbonara, pesto, salsiccia. So clearly some classic Italian foods are the core. But I'm wondering, you come from Norway and you come from Iran,
yes.
both with very distinctive cuisines. So I'm wondering, do your native cuisines work their way into your flavors at all?
Well, I don't think anybody would come back if we served lutefisk.
No?
And because he's in the kitchen, I mm-hmm. always joke with the customers telling if I was in the kitchen, you would never come back. I say, my husband is there where he belongs. and there are some dishes that have the Iranian flair, mm-hmm. Like the chicken dish that is marinated in saffron and served with the wild rice, and more of a Greek-style salad.
Oh, right. Yeah, right here it has organic chicken marinated in lemon saffron herbs, wild rice with cucumber, tomatoes, sweet onion salad. Mm-hmm. I love the flavors of that whole region.
Yeah, I think Mediterranean is a flavor that almost all cultures, all people, everyone is just kind of interested to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it develops. And the reason, you know, back to your question when you ask us, you know, I think both my wife and I, we like to eat good, drink good, we travel. And I think that's how when you look at things, somehow Mediterranean Italian food stands out more with lots of flavor, lots of opportunity in making dishes, and that's how we looked at it, you know. Mm-hmm.
And plus, when you think about it, Mediterranean food really covers. I mean, you can go from Spain to Algeria and everything in between. So it really covers a huge range.
And that's what we say, like in our mission statement, that it's not a pure Italian restaurant. Mm-hmm. It's Mediterranean and Italian. Mm-hmm. And that gives us a little bit more also the freedom of putting dishes on.
Sure. Now, you have your two core menus. You have your lunch menu and your dinner menu. Do you augment with daily specials or do you add?
Yes.
Talk a little bit about that, okay?
Okay. Our menu, as you look at it, is quite aggressive. It's got a lot of items on there. And back to your original question, it says many variety Italian. We decided to, by traveling and tasting dishes, we try to handpick different items because every area, region has its own flavors and dishes that is quite good. Like when you talk about carbonara or puttanesca or pesto, all these dishes come from different regions and they all have their own flavor. So we pick some of those and we try to produce exact same product that you see we will see it in Italy. Now, the menu, it's quite a large menu. In addition to that, we also have, I would say, maybe five or six daily special. We offer it on Thursday, every Thursday. We come up with our menu. It goes through Monday night. So, for example, we offer a dish that we call al forno, which is our baked cannelloni that we make it on wood pizza oven. And depending on what ingredient we choose, that's always our special, but the mix or ingredient changes weekly. Our ravioli changes weekly. And then also we have dishes, like, for example, this week I'm serving a flat iron Snake River Wagyu beef that we're serving that is, or also our fish. We do a lot of seafood, fresh, locally brought, and we'll do specials with those items.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the things you like to do with fish during the summer?
Okay, for example, our fish today is a local salmon that we have. We serve it on top of puree of mashed potato, and lobster and pancetta. I make a lobster mashed potato pancetta on it, and then we serve with a spinach and a lobster cream sauce on top. So it's quite a rich dish, but it's wonderful. You know, it comes out good.
Sounds amazing. Sounds really amazing. So tell me some more about those. So you always have a fish. Just tell me some more about those specials.
Well, we offer always a fish, daily special fish. We always have an entree dish as a protein, either lamb, beef, or chicken, depending. Right now we're using the flat iron Snake River steak. Or we also use the ravioli. Our ravioli, for example, okay, for today is a braised short ribs. Excuse me. Braised short ribs that I only use with sauteed onion. And I put sun-dried tomato in it. And those are the only ingredients in the ravioli. We make our own ravioli handmade. And I serve it in a very rich demi sauce with the oven-roasted local tomato from Love Farm. And it's quite an interesting dish. People like it. But it's not where you don't favor tomato or cheese or spinach. You taste the beef. You taste the sauce. And you notice the texture of the pasta. So that's another special that we have daily. And one of my all-time favorite dishes, we have a dish called Agnolotti Aragosta, which is a lobster ravioli. And we always have that dish. It's one of our favorite. It's a lobster, ricotta cheese, prosciutto, and then agnolotti, we make it a round shape, but some people make it half moon or whatever the shape they decide. And then we serve it in a lobster cream sauce. Very rich again, but wonderful flavor, taste. The combinations go really well together.
We're going to take a little musical break here. And when we come back, we might be able to convince Shari to do a little bit of cooking right here on Mouthful. If Sugar Was As Sweet As You, of course, by the classic Rock Pile here on Mouthful. And we have a lot of activity going on. Shari is on his knees at our very low little table. And so while we're waiting for him to finish up, and he will then tell us what he's making. Lizbeth, let's talk about wine. You do the wine list, right?
Yes, I do. And it's been one of my passions for many years. Growing up in Norway, you can enjoy wine at a younger age than here.
Oh, you can? And tell me about that.
Well, when you are with your parents mm-hmm. and you go to a restaurant, you can get half a glass of wine. From your 12 years old.
That's so civilized.
And at home, too. And then I lived in Greece, Spain, Italy, France for many years before I moved to America, and really enjoyed a lot of good wines mm-hmm. during those years. During college, I worked for a very famous Norwegian restaurant, and they sent me to France to learn about wines when I was 18 years old. So
wow.
I got a taste of good wines. And
what a great thing to have done, so young.
Yeah, I can't remember too much, but I remember I drank a lot of good wines.
Mm-hmm. So what guides you when you put together your wine list?
Well, I have tasted every single wine on the list, mm-hmm. and of course, it's subjective because I don't have a panel with me, but I try to get balanced wine, not too high alcohol, not over tannin. I love to support smaller wineries mm-hmm. that make 50 cases mm-hmm. to like 5,000 cases.
And it's so helpful, especially for restaurants, to focus on lower alcohol wines. You know, we have no Subway system here.
No.
And plus, people, you'll sell more wine. I've always believed you will sell more wine if it's lower alcohol wine, because you get something that's up there 13, 14, 13 and a half, up to, I mean, in some cases, 15, 16%. And they're not very food friendly.
No, and you find Zinfandels that are over 17%.
Yes.
And it is, but some wines can have more alcohol, but still be very balanced.
Yeah, some can.
It depends on the winemaker and the style that they are making the wine in. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for a lot of them because it's so warm here in California. And
Yeah. And that's been changing. It's been getting warmer for the most part. Overall, although, God, I love this somewhat cooler summer. I think the second in a row makes me, I love it. Well, we have to shift back to what is in front of me right now. This is a really, really beautiful salad. I definitely see tomatoes. I see plums. There's a beautiful pool, a sort of emerald green pool with little... little dollops of what must be olive oil. So, Shari, yes. tell
very close.
This is the most beautiful presentation we have ever had in Mouthful's 15 and a half years. This is, you've gone to extraordinary lengths. You have china, you have linen napkins, you have nice silverware. You really, this is when it should be television, or we should have a web camera.
Well, actually, this salad we call it's a dry creek salad. All the component of the salad comes from Dry Creek. Although you see the tomato, and I just saw your recent article, you talked about tomato, and they're just coming. They're not coming. So I had to, this is not exactly the tomato, but the cherry tomato is from Love Farm.
Yes.
And I happened to pick two tomatoes from her today. They're not quite ready.
Yeah.
But this is an upcoming salad. And the dressing that you see, you call it by Emerald Pool, is a dressing that I make from Dry Creek peach, jalapeno and cilantro.
Oh.
So it's got a little bit of zing and a zang to it, you know. So it's a little bit of sweet and spicy. And then I incorporate, there is, again, from Dry Creek, there's a gentleman who grows Asian pears.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we have plums. So I get all these ingredients. I make a size, it's almost like a fruit salad, but it's composed of tomato, cherry tomato, Santa Rosa plum, and Asian pear, and the dressing.
The julienne is Asian pear.
Asian pear, yes.
Oh, okay.
So it's actually is a one of the most popular flavor because most people, they like sweet and spicy, happens to be one of the best flavors that almost every culture, every group of people they like. So we're trying to put the combination together. Of course, I have put it together here, so
it's
go
very
ahead and taste it and see
it's
what you
beautiful.
Think.
And the idea of peaches, cilantro, and jalapeno, that just sounds
and
right.
And it's not
the
spicy
alley.
At all, and then it's...
Mm. Oh, it's gorgeous. That sauce is just...
People come to the restaurant with their
The sauce
container.
Is just out of this world.
Yeah. They come with a container and just want to buy the sauce.
It's really extraordinary. Yeah. And we're going to put together a little bite here because out of my peripheral vision, I can see Eric, Mouthful's engineer, might be drooling. So, Eric, here you go. Oh, yeah, you just want to smear this sauce all over your body. It is really, really good. So, do you mean Dry Creek Peach and Produce peaches?
Yes.
Our friend Gail Sullivan, we love her peaches.
Yeah. Well, also, we try to do a lot of local products as much as we can. I mean, there are certain things, of course, I cannot get, but almost everything that we can get locally, we do. And we try to put dishes together that are a little bit of Italian flavor and also some local Sonoma County. And that's what this salad is. I mean,
is this on the menu as a special?
This is going to come on the menu with our next changes, which is going to be a few days. I mean, two more weeks.
Until we really get into
tomatoes. Waiting for tomatoes.
Season.
Yes,
tomatoes.
But it's coming. I see. I mean, this is from Love Farm. I don't know if I'm familiar.
Yes.
I'm
sure yes, I know Love Farm.
Bibiane over there, he handpicked this for me, and then also, it's funny because Lisbeth does a lot of our PR.
Mm-hmm.
And she just did something for Love the Land. Last week, I think we did a PR for the farmers of the local area.
Oh.
They were raising some money. And many months ago, I submitted my tomato salad. But not knowing tomato wasn't going to be here this time, so I was a little too anxious. But Bibiane pulled through for me, and she pulled cherry tomatoes.
Uh-huh.
I had to go through 8 cases, but it turned out quite well.
Well, this is really quite lovely. And how would you pair this with wine?
Well, because the tomato and the acidity, I would do an off-dry Riesling with it. One of my favorite Riesling or favorite wineries is Gustafson Winery that is on top by Lake Sonoma, and they have an excellent Riesling.
Now, are they in the Rockpile area?
No.
Okay, so they're not that far.
They're Skaggs. They're further up.
Oh, they're further beyond.
Yeah, they're 4
beyond
miles.
Rockpile.
They are 1,800 feet of beautiful winery and all organic vineyards but very small production.
Mm-hmm.
And I feature them on my list. I have all of their wines on my wine list.
And Joey, it's just fine. You do what you need to do, Shari. Joey is voicing his opinion. He likes all the action as well. He keeps thinking we're making him dinner. I just can't praise this enough. So you have to wait. If you want to go up to Bacci in Healdsburg, you have to wait a couple weeks for this particular salad. Shari works on his next dish, let's talk a little bit more about the wine list. Because now you are the cafe and wine bar. So talk a little bit about the wine bar aspect of the business.
Well, for me, growing up in Europe, a wine bar is where you offer people large selections of wine by the glass. So if you look at my list, I have about 35 to 40 wines.
Yeah, it's a really extensive list.
And it's not that huge of a restaurant either, but people can come and have a nice glass of wine from, say, $7 to most expensive $12. And these are wines, I don't mark them up a lot. My policy is no more than $10 over suggested retail price, so you don't have to take a mortgage to get a bottle of wine.
Which is nice. That's very thoughtful.
And also I try to focus on a lot of local smaller producers in Dry Creek and Alexander Valley. Of course, I have some larger vineyards on there too, they send me a lot of customers. They eat there all the time, you know.
Now, it looks like you have these sections. Let me see if I'm reading this correctly. Okay, you have featured wineries. And on this particular list, you have four family wineries. You say a little bit. You give the address of the winery. And then you have several of their wines available. Talk a little bit about that program.
Well, these four wineries, when I was opening the restaurant, you know, Healdsburg is a restaurant town, and there's a lot of competition, and I wanted to do something a little different. There is not too many wine bars there. So I decided to approach smaller wineries that I knew that I had done PR for and ask them if they want to be featured at my restaurant. And for 2 years, I will feature these wineries. I picked, I tasted through them, and we do most of their caterings. We do winemaker dinners for mm-hmm. them, and all these four that I have, you know, I'm sure you haven't heard about all of them. There, one is Mueller in Russian River.
Yeah, certainly Mueller. We know quite well. I just wrote about one of their wines very recently. So there's Mueller, there's Ardente Estate, Ramazzotti, and Gustafson. And the one I don't know about here, I do not know Ardente Estate.
Ardente is a friend of us owns Mr. Espresso Coffee, and we have known him for 25 years, and he makes about 1,000 cases of Cabernet on top of Atlas Peak every year. And I think his wines are excellent, and I've done some PR for him, and they're very food friendly, made in a European style. They have about 12.5% alcohol.
That is just not that common to see a Cabernet that low, and that really allows a lot of the flavors of Cabernet to blossom.
And also they age very well.
Yes.
So his current release is 2004. You know, mm-hmm. that is, he's coming out with the 2005 in a couple of months. Uh-huh. But they're very well balanced, and people love them. And when you look at the prices...
The prices are remarkable. We've got a 2,000 on here for $35.
Yep.
That's really reasonable.
But this is what I said. The policy of my... I don't like to go to a lot of restaurants and pay $100 for a bottle of wine that I know I can go to the winery and pay $30 for.
Yeah, and plus these days, it's hard for people.
Yeah.
You know, we're all struggling right now. So it's really great to have some options that are both really reasonable, but also thoughtful. Having that combination is really a great thing.
And a lot of these wineries do not have the... on my whole list, the budget to hire someone to do PR and marketing for them. They can't get into restaurant. No distributors will take them on because they're too small. You know, the distributor works on percentage. So they can't, it's very difficult for them to get a placement. And I just feel that we should help each
what
other.
A great thing to do. That's good for you. That's really cool. I like that. So now I have another dish sitting in front of me. Shari, what have you been doing over there?
Okay, this is what we call, this is one of our favorite dishes in a restaurant. It's called Gamberetti Marinati, which is a grilled shrimp in a sense. And then here's where the little bit of Iranian and Mediterranean comes in, that I use grilled shrimp, I use a lime, good olive oil, mint and feta cheese. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of combined together. I've been very successful with it. I had this dish in my restaurants for many years, and to this day, almost everyone who had it, they fall in love with it. Mm-hmm. You know, so you taste it. But of course, these are nice Gulf shrimp, white Mexican Gulf wild shrimp. And in the restaurant, when we grill them, and then we chill them with the lime juice, and then we put the olive oil and feta cheese. And so go ahead and try and see what you think. And
well, again, you've just done a really beautiful, beautiful presentation.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's see. No one will know because it's on the radio unless I tell them, but I'm going to eat the shrimp with my fingers. Beautiful. Very... very refreshing. That citrus olive oil combination, and then with the floral quality of the mint, it just fills your sinuses. Very beautiful.
Yes, thank you.
And what would you want to pour with this?
Well, I would do a dry rosé with the shrimp, and we. That's what I suggest to a lot of customers. And both Ramazzotti's dry rosé of Zinfandel or Gustavsson's. Dry rosé of Sangiovese, and Gustavsson dry rosé of Syrah would do very well with it.
Mm-hmm. Dry rosés are so food friendly. I really love dry rosés.
Yeah.
Well, this is absolutely wonderful. I think we have to take another musical break so I can just swoon a little bit. Fed tonight. I have to tell you, I was not expecting this. That maybe you'd bring in a couple little nibbles, but you have really gone to extraordinary lengths to present something amazing here. So this dish, tell us again the name of the shrimp dish.
Gamberati marinati, which is marinated shrimp, large prawns. But we put our own twist in there, like I said.
The lime juice is a very nice touch.
I'm sorry?
The citrus, the lime juice is a very nice touch.
Yes. I do use quite a bit of lime or lemon in my dressing because I think it brings the best out of the food.
I totally agree with you.
Yes. I mean, it's especially with a good olive oil. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very good combination and very natural and also brings the flavor of the product that we actually present in like a shrimp or... even chicken or whatever it is, it just brings a flavor out.
I completely agree. Yeah. It's one of the last ingredients I could give up would be lemons or limes. Now, is this on the menu regularly?
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
Okay, great. And now tell us about this. I recognize burrata.
Uh-huh.
So we have, let me see, we have a piece of bread. Is that...
we toast there. We have a nice sort of rustic bread. And then I sauté some leek with pancetta. And that's the bedding you see over there. On top of that, I place the burrata. And then we have some oven-roasted tomato and a little bit of pesto. olive oil and some basil olive oil. So we incorporate. That's a very popular. Burrata has become popular the last a few years.
I mean, 3 years ago, you never knew about it. Now it's everywhere.
Now it's everywhere.
With good reason.
It's very good. Beautiful. It's great flavor, and it really is a product that you can incorporate any flavor. You can have it for breakfast with a marmalade, or you can have it with a foie gras at night. I mean, it just you can have it with anything that you like, and it's quite a, because it's such a natural flavor.
Very pure. Yeah. Whose do you use?
Stefan's. It's a company that makes for us. I mean, not for us, but I mean, it makes it for everybody. But it's really, as much as we sell, it's too difficult to make it yourself.
Oh, sure. Are you getting it from is that a California company?
Yes, it's actually Southern California.
Southern California, that's the one I get most of the time.
Very good. And that's the only one I found out that is respectable. It's very good. And we go to a company called Ital Food, which is a distributor for them, and we get through them.
And I think you can buy it retail at Traverso's.
Yeah, also, Big John, I saw it a couple of days ago.
So, Big John's too.
I can just run down the street and pick up a few more.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so now I see. Yeah. They're going to tell Mouthful was here. So,
what I would pair with this dish is a nice, dry, sparkling wine.
What a good idea to bring together all these different flavors.
Yes, because it's clean and fresh, and takes away maybe a little of the fullness of the dish.
Mm. That is really good. Really, really good. And I know that, Eric, you can try this. Pass it over to you. And again, is that on the seasonal menu?
Yes. I mean, I had this on the menu for the last 2 months, and and I'm thinking when we're just coming around fig season, and I'm going to figure out a salad to do with burrata and fig and prosciutto maybe. Mm-hmm. Just come up with a combination of different ingredients. And it's, as I said, it's a natural flavor, and you can develop around it. You know, you can add a lot of things to it, and it captures that depending what flavors you're looking for. You know, so.
I'd like to look ahead to fall, partly because you're from Iran, and rightly or wrongly, and please correct me if this is wrong, I always associate the pomegranate with Iran, and the pomegranate is one of my favorite foods in the world. It has been since I was a child. So do you start incorporating pomegranates in your menus when they're in season?
In season, all year long. In fact, some of my demi that I use, my secret ingredient is a pomegranate reduction.
The pomegranate molasses.
That I buy, you know, and it gives us that tart and sweetness to my sauces, because we make all our own sauces in-house, and that's one of my secret ingredients. It's just really flavorful. And a last salad, we do a winter salad with that, which is a pomegranate, persimmons, and frisée. That it comes out, and I do almost the same dressing that you saw with a little bit different flavor, but the pomegranate. So I do every 4 or 3 months or so, the four season, I do different salads depending what ingredients are available.
Yeah, I would just imagine you would do wonders. When you were growing up in Iran, what sort of, do you remember, did you have an interest in cooking? Were you that interested in food as a child over
Very
there?
Very much so, because funny, my wife always reprimands me and tells me my only childhood memories are around food. But it's true, because as a child, I remember I always loved cooking. I actually used to make my own pottery, which I thought it was a pottery. I mean, it wasn't. It was made out of dirt and clay, and make dishes. Of course, maybe that time it wasn't edible, but at least I thought it was. And also, in our culture, the social gathering is very important, and people will have parties and get-togethers, and most often I find myself having a little kiosk over there selling little chicken liver or corn or things, I mean, on the skewers. I mean, and the adults had to buy them because they were forced to buy them. And I mean, imagine if it was equivalent to a dollar for a skewer of chicken liver, grilled chicken liver. And we used to do things like that. And and all my childhood, everything, all my memories around food, you know. So I remember most memorable things in my life are related to around food. I can remember eating certain dish as a child, to this day, I remember the flavors and the taste I can never duplicate, you know. So,
now, are there things that you remember that you can't get here?
Not these days. I think almost everything is available world round. I mean, mm-hmm. worldwide, because it's the way the FedEx or UPS or the system works over mm-hmm. here. I mean, I can call my fish for my guys from Hawaii. I can get onaga flown to me the same day. You know, so mm-hmm. it's very easy these days mm-hmm. to get ingredients. Of course, there are a few ingredients that still they're not available here, but they have Middle Eastern stores that you can get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And my mouth is full. Do you use Iranian saffron?
Yes. Well, actually, no. I mean, I do use it, but it's hard to get. I use a Spanish saffron. But then whenever I can, mm-hmm. I use Iranian saffron. It's very, very high quality.
Yes. Somebody brought me some. Yes. Ellen Mack of Russian Hill Winery uh-huh. went to Iran a couple of years ago, and she brought me back this beautiful little tin of Iranian saffron that I keep in the freezer and use it very, I mean, you don't need much. It's so, it's just so powerful.
It's wonderful. Yeah, it's a purest ingredient, and it's a certain quality that you, although Spanish saffron is just as good, you know, but this is good. I remember when I was in Hawaii, a friend brought a package. It was almost 2 kilos of saffron.
Oh, my goodness.
Which was quite a bit of money. But I bought that many years ago. It lasted me for a long time. But nowadays I buy from the store. I mean, not stores, from suppliers that are available. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, this is just a magnificent meal. Really magnificent. Let's talk a little bit more about the wine bar aspect. I'm wondering how the business sort of shakes out, like how many people are coming for lunch and for dinner versus are people coming just to take part in the wine bar aspect, maybe sit at the bar, have a few glasses, maybe a couple appetizers?
A lot of people come just to have wine at the bar, but they ask to look at the menu and they end up having some appetizers.
Mm-hmm.
And quite often people come and ask if we are a full restaurant, although the menu is posted outside, because they think wine bar is just wine. And we try to accommodate anybody. If you just want a glass of wine, there's no room at the bar and I have a free table, you're welcome to sit down and have a glass of wine. We sell a lot of wine. People are very tend to enjoy themselves, try different because they feel the price point, say, they can afford to have maybe two glasses instead of just one.
Just one, yeah.
And we live mainly out of the local people that come over and over again, and they drink. They are drinking through,
the wine list. Yeah, that was going to be my next question. What you're feeling about visitors versus locals?
Well, I will say we have more than 70% locals.
That's a great thing, especially, I mean, you have to have that in Healdsburg to survive from November until May, really.
But when I say local, I mean all of Sonoma County.
Sure.
Yeah, Sebastopol, Santa Rosa, Petaluma. We get people coming from all of the county.
Uh-huh.
And even from Napa.
They should. Come to where it's a little bit cooler. Napa's always warmer. So as you look ahead, you've been there now 15 months. And you look ahead, what do you see the next year, the next 15 months being like? Just continuing to build on what you're doing, doing anything different, expanding in any way?
Well, the wine list is expanding every single month. Because we are a small family-owned business, we don't have unlimited capital. So we add on as we go. And Shari, there is no more room on the menu, so he has to take dishes off. But we're expanding in the sense of doing a lot of catering. We do all the major wine events.
Really? So you must have a huge staff.
Yes, and a huge kitchen.
Huge kitchen. Yes. Now, so the kitchen there at Manzanita is really big.
Very big.
Oh, well, that's great.
Yeah, you can have a lot of people on the line and several stations. And the pizza oven is outside, so it's not taking up any of the...
Not taking up the inside room.
No.
So, this is important, as she said, pizza oven, because that's one of our point of interest over there, that we have a wood-burning pizza oven mm-hmm. in the middle of the restaurant for those of people who haven't been there. But we do not only pizza from there, we do a lot of dishes over mm-hmm. there, everything from duck breast to cannelloni or garlic bread. We do our garlic bread, for example. We do mm-hmm. it from the oven, that we roast the whole garlic, and then you get the toast from there. And when it comes to your table, you kind of pull the pulp out and just spread it over there.
So it's absolutely.
It's really wonderful flavor. And I have a secret, because I blanch it in milk first. I learned from my grandmother, speaking of childhood. Now, I don't know if it's true or not, but it's apparently takes a little bit of the garlic, strength of the garlic away from it when you mm-hmm. blanch it in milk. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's a secret or not, but that's what we do. Uh-huh. So it's interesting, because we do a lot of different dishes. And as Lisbeth mentioned, we change our menu every 2 months. Mm-hmm. There are like the three dishes that you had over here. One is the permanent one. The other two changes depending on what's available, mm-hmm. what season.
It's the shrimp that
the
is
shrimp
permanent.
Shrimp is always a permanent, yes, because there are several dishes that we have that are permanent, but we do change at least 5 to 7 dishes mm-hmm. that every 2 months or so, mm-hmm. with also addition of our specials, which we change uh-huh. on weekly basis, you mm-hmm. know. So that's, in fact, it got to a point where I wanted my servers who go to the table and try to explain to all the ingredients and how it's prepared, and Lisbeth would lose her servers because they have to stand there for half an hour explaining all these things. So we decided to print it out. So
uh-huh. And the customers fell asleep long before.
Yeah, you don't want to hear a whole lot from your server.
But, you know, as a chef, you also want to tell
people. You want to tell them, absolutely.
You want to tell them how you're doing it and what's in it, because, and these days, I mean, just as before we left, there was a lady there, and she could not, she's gluten-free. She's so she could not have any flour or any kind of thing. So we are able to do that. We lot of our dishes are made to order, mm-hmm. so that's why if someone is vegetarian or vegan or lactose intolerant, we can
accommodate anybody.
60% of that menu that you see is a large menu that we can create it uh-huh. to whatever specification a customer uh-huh. has. Only a few items that are braised that in advance, we don't do. But even at that, for example, some of them are created that way. So keeping in mind that people have allergy or situation, they can have certain kind of food, and we try to accommodate them. Mm-hmm.
We won't spread the word too much on that. You'll get so many requests. Every time I write about something, thinking I'm being generous, well, I'll tell someone this. Oh my gosh, I get the most bizarre requests, and then some people get mad. Well, you said this, but you also should have said that. So yeah. It's like, no plans to bottle that sauce with the...
Yes. Actually, we're thinking about it.
Really? Okay, yes, I was wondering. That was one of the places I was going. So you actually... I'm thinking, of course, of the first one, what is it, that peaches, jalapenos, and cilantro.
Cilantro, and I use the grapeseed oil, and I use some...
Don't give all the ingredients, remember.
No, so it's a very neutral taste, and we're thinking about, there's 3 or 4 dressings that I do. We're thinking about bottling it. We have our own olive oil already, so olive oil is being produced for us.
And where's that from? Where and what are the varietals?
Merchant
and Miller. John Hadley worked together with me, and he has Merchant and Miller. And I get to blend it. It's Lechino and then with mm-hmm. Mission olive. It seems
Lechino and Mission. Interesting.
Yeah, it's pungy but still sweet. Mm-hmm. So he has made a blend that doesn't overpower the wine. Uh-huh. You know, that's my main concern. Uh-huh. So we've had it since we opened, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Now, you say you have three children. One of them is a concert pianist.
Yeah, that's Lawrence. We have Alexander the Great, Lawrence of Arabia, and Julius Caesar.
So it's Lawrence who's the concert pianist, and the other two?
The other two are both in college in San Diego. Mm-hmm. In a couple of weeks, they all leave. The concert pianist lives in Singapore.
Oh,
he studies at the Yonsei To Conservatory uh-huh. as the only American ever invited.
Really?
Had to get that in.
Interesting. Interesting. What are the other two boys studying?
Engineering, the youngest, Julius. And
microbiology.
And the oldest, microbiology.
Biology.
So,
And I bet they like to come home and be fed.
And they work. They work during the summer.
Do they work in the restaurant?
Yes. Not the concert pianist. He just eats.
Okay, well, let's go over again where and when. You're on Healdsburg Avenue, right across from the charcuterie, easy to find in the former Manzanita.
Yes. And we are open for dinner Thursdays through Mondays from 5 p.m. and lunches Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 12. And we serve all the way till 5.
Oh, so lunch anytime. Oh, that's great.
Yes. A lot of people that have been out wine tasting, or, you know, you get stuck in the office with phone calls.
And yeah, it's 2:35 and no one will give you lunch anymore.
Yes, we will.
Good. That is good to know. And then how late do you stay open?
We sit on the weekends till 10 o'clock.
Oh, bless you. That's wonderful.
And the word is getting out there, so we get quite a large rush, often 8:30 to 9 o'clock.
Great. Yeah, because that's one of the hardest things to maintain in Sonoma County, is being able to be seated at 9 o'clock or after.
Yeah. So
that can
try.
Be a real challenge, I know from experience. Okay, in our last couple of movies, just got a minute or two more. If you're going to Hawaii, if someone's going to Hawaii, what's your insider tip? What should somebody going to Oahu be sure not to miss? Do you have something favorite you want to tell people
about?
Well,
I mean, Hawaii's, in my opinion, it's a melting culture, a melting pot of the world. I mean, there's a lot of food over there. So, I mean, I'm obviously, my relationship would be food. You must have the plate over there, the lunch plate.
Lunch
you know?
Plate.
Yeah, two scoop of rice, one macaroni, and the kind, you know, whatever put on there. But most importantly, I think it's the, of course, the beauty of it is people understand that, but you have to go to where the locals eat and local restaurants and local area. That's what I would recommend to people. Mm-hmm.
And I would recommend just to swim in the ocean and enjoy the nature.
Yeah. And I say, eating-wise, you have to go up past Punalu'u to Giovanni's Shrimp Truck. And after you eat at Giovanni's Shrimp Truck, then you have to go into Hale'iwa for a shave ice.
Yes.
It's not Masumoto's, but it's a name very, very close to that as the best shave ice on the island. And on that note, mahalo.
Mahalo.
Aloha. I will see you at Bocce Cafe and Wine Bar soon, and be sure to tune in next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful, when we'll be talking about Sonoma County's own apple. It is almost Gravenstein season. I'm Shalana Jordan. Have a great week.
Mouthful is produced by Michelle Anna Jordan. It's engineered by Lawrence Alberti and Eric Black. For more information about Mouthful, email to catsmilk@sonic.net. That's catsmilk@sonic.net. You can also go to krcb.org and download podcasts of Mouthful, as well as from iTunes.
And the moral of this story, children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough, even he'll get hungry too. And he'll sing, to the Lord let praises be. It's time for dinner now, let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher says. To the Lord let praises be. It's time for dinner now, let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher says. To the Lord let praises be. It's time for dinner now, let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher says.